Now, I might be a little simplistic here, but I think it might be necessary for us to define prayer. I think it would be very helpful. I think the things that we've already said enhance the truth of prayer. But I'm thinking of that because, like this morning, we ate. And if I said to you, eat, the first thing that you might think of, right, is food. Food going into your mouth, hitting your stomach, the digestive process taking place, and then ultimately excretion of the waste. Well, when we say prayer, what do we really mean? Very often I think we simply think of it from the angle of expressing our need. Well, just as I use the idea of food, for instance, when you think of food, it should be an appetite is developed, then salivation takes place, like Pavlov's dog, and then the enjoyment of what we put in our mouth, and then surely the digestive process. I think likewise, when we think of prayer, we need to be able to think of immediately approach to God. Access. It's not now whether we are asking for something or we are praising, but immediately the thought of access. And I wonder if we could appreciate that, because this is what prayer brings us to the very throne room of God. Now, how many of us have access to the President of the United States of America? You Canadians don't. We do. How many of us can take advantage of that? Well, it might take me until he comes out of office to get an appointment to see him, because I don't have that kind of an access. But the beauty of what we have before us in prayer is that we have access to God. And that's what Ephesians tells us. By the Spirit, we have access to God. And I wonder if we can cherish that as we begin with this matter of prayer, that it gives us access into the very presence of the Creator, who is now our Savior. The second aspect of prayer is the matter of the will. Thy will be done. That's really what we're saying when we go to Him in prayer. That I want Your will in my life. Not so much now that I have a need. I need this, I need that, I need the other. I think those come after. But the idea has to be, Your will be done. Is that what I want? And that's why I go in prayer. So I think those two aspects, access and His will being done, is essential. And we're going to get that coming out in Hannah's behavior.
Now follow that then with this. The circumstances did not dictate the direction her life went in. What are some of the things that I can do if something difficult comes in? I can lash out at her husband. I can lash out at those that are around us. I can be mad at God, as it were. None of that happened here. We sang last night, what a friend we have in Jesus. And I'm saying in application, how true it was. She could go to the Lord with the difficulty, and she could pour out to me. This is more than just praying. This is a relationship with Him, that she was at home in His presence. She had a calmness about her. I can take this to Him because I know He wants what is best for me. Now, isn't that wonderful that I rest in that? She enjoyed this at this time. Sometimes, we said last night, sometimes God doesn't change our circumstances. We need to see that. That's what David just said. Lord, I want Your will. Sometimes the Lord says, no, I'm going to change you. I'm going to enable you to go through this trial for my glory, that you might bring honor to me in a way that wouldn't otherwise be done. Sometimes the Lord does change the circumstances, whatever way He does what is best. And this is that confidence that was mentioned in prayer, wasn't it?
An example of one who did, who lashed out is Rachel in Genesis 30. When she saw that she bare Jacob no children, it says that she, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And in that example, she went to the wrong source, who was Jacob. He said there, am I God? And am I in God's stead, who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And we see in contrast Hannah going to the right source, to God, who is able to fulfill that need. And also another mistake that we see in Genesis 30 is in verse 3, she said, behold my maid Bilhah going unto her. So she was going out of God's timing, because later on in verse 22 it says, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived, as we know, Joseph and Benjamin. But in the example we see here before us with Hannah, she waited, and in God's timing, he opened her womb. And the other thing about God's glory, Hannah, we don't see her asking for 10 sons or for 10 children, that she has more, so that she has more than her counterpart. She asked God for a male child, that when she sees the need in Israel for a prophet, she asked God for a male child who would be able to fulfill that need. So she sought God's glory first before her own need.